Last Sunday morning, we studied some teachings in God's Word about our need to be a peculiar people, which is in meaning to be a, from God's perspective, a people that is special to Him, being beyond the usual, as it literally means. It's a particular term that he also uses in the book of Titus, and we want to start in Titus chapter 1 this morning, as we're going to look at another aspect, really, of being one of God's peculiar people, peoples, or together, us being that peculiar people, and our need to have our light to shine in this world and how we can do so. That's going to be the focus of our study from God's Word together this morning. In Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." In this particular passage, he starts with reminding us of the work that God has done for us to enable us to be able to have eternal salvation. By his grace, his salvation, or the grace that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. This is something he's done for us all. And we know that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God has made salvation available and possible for every one of us. But that same grace of his by which he has made salvation available to us all, that same grace is in the role of a teacher, as he puts it in verse 12. And if we have not considered before that God's grace is a teacher, it is. That's exactly what he's saying here in verses 11 and 12. That grace of God that brings salvation is teaching us. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And he then goes on to remind us in verse 14, as part of that grace of God that brings salvation to all men, our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us in order to redeem us from all iniquity. And his goal is to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we see this process here by which we have to turn away from these ungodly things and the worldly desires, and rather that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. But part of that is purifying ourselves to be this peculiar people and to be zealous of good works. In chapter 3, and actually continuing with this same teaching here that we see at the end of chapter 2, but in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." So he's teaching us the way that we do need to behave towards all and towards everyone. And again, he says we need to be ready to every good work. And he mentions some of those good works. Now, we may tend to think of doing a good work as when we actually do something for somebody, providing them something in a need that they have. But we need to be broad in our thinking and understanding of what it means to be ready to every good work, as we see in this context. Is it a good work for us to refrain from speaking evil of anyone, to not be a brawler? Is it a good work to be gentle and to show all meekness to all men? I mean, those are good works. That's part of what he's telling us to be ready to do. And including, as he says at the very beginning of verse 1, to be subject to principalities and powers and obey magistrates. Keeping the laws of our land, doing the things that we're supposed to do as citizens in this world that God has commanded us to do in obedience to the earthly commandments that we have from our authorities. There are lots of things that he mentions right there that are good works, that are obedient or is reflective or showing, demonstrating obedience to God's commandments. We need to be ready to all of those things. We need to be zealous and ready to do these good works. Verse 8 here in Titus chapter 3 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." And verse 14 says, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." So there we have in both of those verses, 8 and 14 of Titus 3, the instruction to maintain those good works. Is it sufficient just to be ready to them? Is it sufficient just to be zealous of them? Or do we have to actually engage in them and do them, and not just to start to do them, but then to maintain those good works? So we see all of that brought out in these verses here in the book of Titus. But this is exactly what the Lord teaches in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. That is the way that we are being lights to this world and to be the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, if we turn there to read verses 13 through 16. He says, "Enter ye in at," I'm in chapter 7 there. Verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So here he's teaching us about these good works and lets us know that this is how we are to let our light shine before men. The object is, as they see the things that we do that are good in God's sight, as those things are visible to them, to those who are in this world, that they will then glorify God for those things that they see us doing. So the motivation is not for us to receive that glory from men, but rather for God to be glorified by the world seeing the good works that we do. Now, are we to therefore aim to do our works to be seen of men? No. But when we are obeying God, is our obedience to God and who we are as a reflection of the kind of heart that we have, revealed by our words and our deeds, is that going to be something that people around us should be able to see and recognize? Should they be able to see that we are different, that we are a peculiar people, that we are different from the world in the way that we think and speak and behave? That should be manifest to people. They should see a difference. That is going to be demonstrated by those good works that we're doing in obedience to God. That's how we are to be the salt of the earth and the light to this world. Now, if there's no difference, if there's no distinction between us in the way we live our lives, if there's no difference between the way we talk and the world talks, if there's no difference between the way we behave and the way the world behaves, if there's no difference between the works that we do and the works that they do, if it's all the same and there's no distinction, then what purpose do we really have in this world as far as being a tool of God to use to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth? We've got no flavor then. If we can't be seen as different, as a light in this dark world, then we've got a big problem, because then we're not doing those good works and we're not being what God has put us in this world to be. Now, we are not to be of this world. We studied a lot about that last week. We are to cease from sin. We have to put away and stop doing those things that we used to do before we were a Christian. We can no longer engage in those things. We no longer can live in those things that the world lives in. We have to be different. We have to stop those things and then turn to what God has commanded us to do. And that includes these good works of obedience to Him. Well, when we do that, we're being lights in the world. But if we don't, we really have no purpose of being here, because we are no longer being a light of the world. Not only are we in the world, then we're of the world. What purpose would we have to be in it? Now, this is also why God has not commanded us just to build a wall around ourselves and move into some compound somewhere where we have no contact with the world. He wants us to be in contact with people of the world. He wants them to be able to see us so they can see some light. Now, how many people do we know that we're the only Christian that they know? I mean, there are going to be quite a few people that we're probably the only Christians that they're going to know. And if we're not shining as a light for them, then who is? I mean, what opportunity do they have to see a light other than what they see in us? And we need to think about that and the responsibility we have in that situation. And that's what God wants us to do at all times, to have that light to be shining to them by our good works so that they will glorify God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verses 10 through 13, where the Lord tells us this is central to our purpose of being here in this world. Verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now again, do we see that difference between what we were, who we were, what we were doing before, and who we're to be now and what we're to be doing now? See, we were before part of this world, and we before, when we were outside of Christ, we were without hope and without God in this world. Now, in Christ, we're to be a new creature. And what have we been created now to do? We are his workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Does God have the purpose in his making us and putting us in this world for us to be doing good works to shine his lights in this world? He says he has created us unto these good works and has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we can see how central this is to the purpose for which the Lord has us in this world as Christians, in this dark world that we live in. Chapter 5 of this same book of Ephesians, he starts in verse 1 by saying, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Now, is that a description of some who are deceived and no longer have their light shining in this world like they should? He's warning us of being deceived and not to let any of these things that we once walked in for us to do those things anymore, because we then will be subject to God's wrath again if we're children of disobedience. So he's warning us not to lose our distinction, not to lose our peculiarity, our situation where we're to be different beyond the usual, to be special to God as someone who is the salt of this earth and part of the light of this world. So we need to walk in love and continue to follow Christ and not partake with those who are turning back to darkness. He says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We need to understand that will and walk in it, and do these good works, and be children of light, and not walk in darkness or have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So we see over and over again the Lord emphasizing our doing these good works before him and the role that we have in this world to shine as lights by those doing those good works. Same thing in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Well, does he mention these good works? Well, he says to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. God's going to work in us both the will and to do his good pleasure. Well, when we're doing his good pleasure, are those good works? That's what those are. And then he mentions these things that are good works that will enable us to shine as lights in this world, because we are his children in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, this world that we live in. This is a dark and wicked world that we live in, and we can't be like it. We have to be different. We have to shine as lights by our good works. Now, it's interesting to read what good works he particularly mentions there that will make us to be so different from the world. When he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. I think we've talked about that before, studied that before, and that murmurings, I mean, that's grumblings, disputings, discussions, literally. So do people grumble and murmur and complain in this world? I mean, that's, you hear it all the time. And if we're doing that, we're just like the world. We shouldn't do that. Now, as Christians, when we have the promise of God that he's going to work all things together for our good, when we have that promise from him, and when we have all the other promises that we have, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, do we really have anything to murmur and complain about and grumble about? We really don't. Now, even when things, does that mean that everything is always going to go well and that everybody's always going to treat us well? No. We've been promised that we're going to suffer persecution in this world if we will live godly in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:12 promises that. But we know that God's going to work it together for our good. He's got a good purpose for it. He's going to use those things to help us to grow. So really, from that standpoint, do we have anything to complain about even if somebody is doing evil to us because we're doing what's good? Not even then. And if we're not complaining, if we're not murmuring and disputing, when we are among those in this world, are they going to notice that we're different? That's one of the ways that they will notice that. But if we're engaging in that practice, then we're just being like everybody else in the world, and we're not letting our light shine in, and because we're not doing those good works. So these are part of the good works there, to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Yes, that also applies to young people. When young people are under the temptation to murmur and dispute these things, when they're told something by their authorities, usually their parents, there's a lot of opportunity there for them to shine as lights to their others in the family or others that are around them to see an example of what a Christian young person should be like, because they're not murmuring and complaining and disputing and discussing the things that they've been told to do by their authority. So this is something for all of us at all ages, whatever our situation that in life is that God has put us in. We all have opportunities to shine as lights, to obey these commandments, to do these good works, to be the salt of the earth. Colossians chapter 9, or chapter 1 rather, verses 9 through 11. Now a while ago, when we were in Titus chapter 3 and we were told to maintain good works, that we would not be unfruitful. You remember that in Titus 3, verse 14? Well, here in Colossians chapter 1, he brings in this concept of fruit bearing again. We also saw it in Ephesians 5 a while ago when he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Well, we saw in Titus that doing good works is a way to bear good fruit. We see in Ephesians 5 that following darkness is the way to bear corrupt or rotten fruit. Well, here he's going to talk about the good fruit in terms of good works and how we are to be prepared to do those. In Colossians 1, 9 to 11, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Now, does that sound like doing good works and not murmuring and complaining and all those things when we are with all long suffering and patience and long suffering with joyfulness, doing these, being fruitful in every good work and walking worthy of him unto all pleasing? We need to do these things. We need to be fruitful in every good work, and that is an opportunity for us to recognize how many opportunities we have from God to bear fruit for him every day. I mean, every time that we are with joyfulness doing the things that he tells us to do without murmuring and disputing, that's a good work, and we're bearing fruit. Every time that we obey a commandment of God, and every time that we do something that is his will, and when we're showing all long-suffering and meekness to all men, like we saw a while ago in Titus chapter 3, 1 and 2, we're doing a good work and bearing fruit to God. Every time that we obey magistrates and we obey our earthly authorities, our civil authorities, we are doing a good work and bearing fruit to God. Whenever children are obeying their parents and doing so without murmurings and disputings, and they're obeying their parents in the Lord and honoring their father and their mother, they're bearing fruit for God as they're doing good works. Same as whether it's husband, wife, parents, children, in our jobs, wherever we are in this world, we have many opportunities to be doing good works by and bear fruit for God by obeying Him. In fact, really, at what time in our lives do we not have an opportunity to be bearing fruit for God by doing good works? I mean, right now, we're obeying His commandments. We should be bearing fruit by doing the good works that we're doing right now at this very instant. And that should be true of every moment that we live. We can always consider what God would have us to be doing at any moment in time that is according to His will, that is pleasing to Him, and therefore will be a good work and be bearing fruit for Him. So we can be laying up treasure in heaven constantly, and we need to be. That's what He's directing us to do. And so we need God's Word, as we see here in Colossians chapter 1. We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding to be able to do this. We saw that also in Ephesians 5 when He said, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So over and over again, we see it comes back to our knowing those commandments, because how are we going to be fruitful in every good work if we don't know what the good works are? If we don't know what the commandments are to obey, if we don't understand what God's will is, how are we going to be able to do it? And how are we going to be able to bear fruit and shine as lights by doing those things? So we need to know God's Word, understand His will, so we can walk in it and bear fruit and shine as lights in this world. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 also says that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. I think these verses are very familiar to all of us. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." What is God's Word able to do? I mean, He's the one that breathed the words, inspired every Scripture. And it's all profitable for those things that He mentions there, with the purpose, in the end, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is God's Word going to furnish us, equip us to be able to do good works in every situation in our lives if we will study and know and understand those things that God has spoken? Yes, again, there's not going to be a single situation that we're ever going to face that God has not provided us teaching, instruction, to get us through that, a way to please Him in whatever the situation is, so we can always be doing those good works for Him. But for those things to be demonstrated in our works, what needs to happen by God's Word? Well, that same Word, the way it's going to thoroughly furnish us unto all good works, is by working on our inner man, so that we are growing to be complete in God's love. We know from 1 John 2, verse 5, that if we keep His Word, then truly in us, God's love is going to be perfected. He promises that. We need to recognize that it is what's in our inner man, in the heart of man, that is where the issues of life proceed from. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says that. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. We'll turn there and look at that particular verse. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, of course, we can compare that with the teachings that Christ gave in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, when He lets us know what defiles a man before God. And it's what comes out of him, from out of his heart, Mark 7, 20 to 23. And He said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Well, those are things that are works of darkness. Those are the things the world engages in. Those are the things that would prevent us from being a peculiar people. Those are the things that would not be shining as lights in this world. And so we have to purge those things out. We need to have God's Word working in our hearts so that those things are purged out, and so that we are built up in the love of God, so that we will be able to bear fruit in every good work. Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. Luke 6, 43 to 45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, in our study this morning, have we seen the two kinds of fruit, both the good and the corrupt, discussed in various passages? Yes. So, in order for our fruit to be good, what has to happen? The tree needs to be good, because a corrupt tree is not going to bring forth good fruit. If we have evil in our hearts, is it going to produce good fruit? No. So what do we need to have happen? Well, that's what he's talking about in the next couple of verses. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So our words, our actions, all of that does come from our hearts. From the heart of man are the issues of life, as we saw Proverbs 4:23. That's where these things come from. We need to make sure we have good in our hearts so that from that good treasure we'll bring forth good things and be able to do those good works so we can shine as lights in the world. Let's go to chapter 11 here, the book of Luke, and look at verses 33 through 36. Luke 11, 33 to 36. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now, we saw that same analogy used a while ago in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, didn't we? But now he's using that same principle, but bringing it out in a little bit of a different way in the following verses, a little bit of a different application, as he brings it to the point of the inner man, which is what we're looking at now, because that's what needs to change. If we have nothing but light in our inner man, it's only going to produce good works, and that will enable us to shine as lights with our on a candlestick, not with it hidden under a bushel. But that's only going to be possible if that change takes place in the inner man, which is where Jesus goes with the teaching in the next three verses of Luke 11. 34 to 36, he says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." How much darkness can we afford to have in us? None. No part dark, as he says there. It needs to be all light. Well, that we understand that's got to take place on the inside for that to be produced on the outside for what men can see. So to be ready to every good work means we need to be purge out all the darkness from our hearts, so there's only good there to bring forth from that good treasure those good things and do those good works for the Lord. Now, the Lord tells us in John chapter 13, 34 and 35, how these good works need to particularly be demonstrated one to another. And this will have a great impact on the world as they see these good works we do for each other. I mean, they'll see the things we do for them. They'll see the way we behave in the world. But we have a great opportunity in what we do and how we treat one another to be an influence on this world, according to John 13, 34 and 35. There Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So we need to, like we saw in Titus 3, 1 and 2 a while ago, show all long-suffering and all meekness to all men. We need to do good works to all as we have opportunity. Galatians 6:10 says, "As you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." Well, this is talking about the household of faith, loving one another. And if we show that to each other, and we're doing that those good works to one another, bringing forth treasure from our good hearts and expressing that towards each other as a demonstration of the love that is there, he says, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. If we obey that commandment of Christ, the new commandment, to love one another as he has loved us, what an opportunity we have to shine as lights in the world by our doing these good works, by loving one another. And that's what the Lord tells us in that particular passage. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 12 as we close our study this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 to 12. We'll tie together some things we studied about last week, but also what we have been looking at this morning. He says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now that last statement there lets us know when that glory to God is going to come. I mean, at least for some, if not many or most, in the day of visitation, when the Lord comes back and we go to the day of judgment, it's all going to come out. And even if people in this life have seen our good works and they've ignored them, they've still seen them. And even if they haven't glorified God for those things now, and of course, we all hope that they will, then, like 1 Peter 3:15 says, ask us of a reason of the hope that is in us, so that we can be ready to give them that answer in meekness and fear. But we hope that they will see and then ask us about it, and that they will then consider, that we'll have an opportunity to teach them why we have that hope that is in us, why we are doing those good works, why we are a peculiar people, why we are shining as lights in this world and no longer running with them to that same excessive riot and doing those things we used to do. We should hope and pray for those opportunities. But even if that's all ignored, and even if they hate us for it and call us evildoers, what is going to happen in the end? God is still going to be glorified. He says in the day of visitation, they're going to glorify him then. So by our shining as lights in this world, in the end, is God going to be glorified by our lives if we are fruitful in every good work and we walk worthy of him unto all pleasing? He will be glorified by us in our lives in every way, even if it's on the day of judgment that it all comes out. So we do want to please our Lord and let our light shine in this world, and do these good works before the world in order to fulfill the purpose God has given us here. But we can't do it if we don't get started following Christ. And that's why at this time we want to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that has not yet become a Christian. This is an opportunity for you now to become a child of God, to become a child of light, to start to fulfill the purpose God has for you, to create you unto good works as he is before ordained that you should walk in them. This is an opportunity now to repent of those things that are of darkness, those sinful things and things that don't work God's righteousness that you have lived your life in up to now. This is an opportunity for you to repent and for you to confess your faith in Christ before men at this time, so you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Those sins will be forgiven, and now you can walk as children of light to do good works and be fruitful unto all good works, to be ready to do those good works and to maintain those good works. For those that are here that might be a Christian, if you haven't been maintaining those good works, and if you've not been shining as lights in this world like you should, this is an opportunity for you to come forward at this time. Anyone that needs to come, please do so right now while we stand and sing.